von der Leyen is now running the European Union now. I don't think she's going to last much longer because I think everybody's had it up to here, you know, with the European Union. Here's what needs to be understood. Before everything ends, well, let's put it this way. This war in Ukraine is lost, and that's going to become patently obvious. And the Russians are going to be victorious. They're going to dictate the terms under which the map is redrawn and new actors emerge. But there's something even more important than what happens in Ukraine. And I predict that Germany will walk out of NATO and walk out of the EU, because it's the only way for Germany to liberate itself from the oppressive influence and power of the EU and NATO. Remember, many of your guests have said this, and people always chuckle over it. I always thought it was deeply offensive and thought it was dead wrong. But this was the attitude in Great Britain and France and the United States, and that is NATO exists to keep the Russians out and the Germans down. Well, the Germans are finally emerging from this state of Stockholm syndrome that they've been living in for decades, where the German walks in the room and his head is bowed and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, we're bad, and we know we're bad, and how much money do you want?" That's over. The Germans have had it with that. The new generation that's coming up is sick of it. The alternative for Germany is sick of it. And this Atlantic alliance has not produced security for Germany. It's dragged Germany into a confrontation with Russia that most Germans want nothing to do with. So Germany is going to march out of the EU. It's going to march out of NATO. When that happens, that's the end of NATO and the EU, because the only way they can exist is with Germany as the linchpin, as the keystone in the edifice. Once the Germans say enough and walk, it's over. And that's where we're headed. So this entire war in Ukraine that was launched to destroy Russia and was always linked to the idea, and this goes back to the White House in 2020 when I was in there and I wrote a paper on it and it was given to the president, and he just, you know, I don't think he could even imagine it, but it was an argument against disrupting relations with Germany because of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And I tried to outline the hundreds of years of very profitable and productive relations between Russia and the German-speaking peoples based on an exchange of commodities, commercial relationships. And the elites actually got along very well. If you go back over the last 300 or 400 years of history involving Germany and Russia, the two world wars are anomalies. They should never have happened. And they did happen. It's tragic that they did. But I think both Germans and Russians have concluded this must not happen again. And Germany will leave the Atlantic Alliance, and it will leave the EU for these very reasons. And all the neocons that have done everything they possibly could to promote death and destruction and war in Eastern Europe and across the continent, these are the same people who have pushed these migrations, heavily funded by people like Soros and others, who couldn't wait to shove millions and millions of people into Europe who are not Europeans, will never be Europeans, cannot become Europeans, and don't want to be Europeans. They are all going to stand around and then begin to say, "See, the Germans are evil. They're back at it again. They're evil because they're charting their own course. They've decided on their own future." It's a lot of nonsense. You know, there's no Nazi revival there, nor will there ever be one, in my judgment. But what you see out in Eastern Ukraine, for some reason, these same neocons are happy to see these Ukrainian soldiers sport SS emblems forth in their war with Russia, which makes no sense at all. None.
Yeah, that is something that didn't get much. It did get a little bit of press, but the significance seemed to be lost on people, I guess, because they're like, "No, I can't acknowledge that, because then that would mean we can't support Zelensky because he seems okay with it." But I tell you, one person that's not okay with it, and going back to that interview with Viktor Orban, he was also asked specifically about what chances does the Ukraine army, with the SS or not, what chance do they have?
European politics intellectually is very sophisticated, but what they are saying basically means that they would not like to have a peace just now. They would like to continue the war. They think, and they speak about it publicly, that We have to continue the war to support Ukraine more. The situation will improve on the front line, and we will have a better circumstances or preconditions for negotiation. Wrong, totally wrong, not to speak about geopolitics and human dimension. Economically and financially is just crazy. We finance a country which has no chance to win the war, but at the same time, there's a high level of corruption.
Yeah, now obviously that issue with corruption has exploded since he made those comments. You mentioned at the outset, one of Zelensky's right-hand men has been caught and is now somewhere in hiding. And it's still very
He's in Israel, along with another one. They both fled to Israel. They will be safe there.
For now. If Zelensky falls, it's unclear how long they're going to protect him.
Oh, listen, I think they're going to be safe. Remember the gentleman who is a pedophile who was caught out in Las Vegas? I can't remember his name now, but it turns out he was an Israeli citizen, and he was flown immediately to Israel, where he has stayed and is safe and will never be extradited. No, I think the Jewish state will remain a haven for Jews, regardless of what they do anywhere else in the world. And that's certainly true for the two gentlemen that whose names escape me. One, I think, is Mindich or something.
Yeah, Mindich, yeah.
And the other one, I can't remember his name, but you know, at some point, Zelensky will probably pack it in and go there as well.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say, and I'm talking to some folks who are on the ground in Kiev or have access there, and they're saying he is literally at risk. This could knock him out when nothing else do it. So apparently he's not as safe as many in the West may think, even with all these announcements.
Well, a lot of people have waited for him to be subjected to the Mussolini treatment. That may yet come. Who knows? He is distant from his own population. What no one here in the West is told, and you can only hear this from people who are on the ground over there, or Poland, or in Russia. There are some Germans that will tell you this. I think one of them is named Baba. This is a German journalist. I listened to him, and he said the same thing. The population has turned decisively against this war with Russia. They know this has to end before there's anything left. That's where they're headed right now. And the other thing is that Ukrainians living in the western part of Ukraine are also coming around to understanding that whether we like it or not, that government that emerges after this war in Kiev must be friendly to Russia. If it isn't, the Russians will march all the way to where we are, right up to the border with Poland, if necessary, to secure their country. We have never recognized Russia's legitimate national security interests in Poland, or Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Never done it. And we don't seem to understand, as a result, we, more than anybody else, are responsible for this bloodletting. You know, if there was a humanitarian bone in Donald Trump's body, on the basis of what's happened thus far, he would lower the boom and say, Mr. Zelensky, you're finished. You're out.
You're fired.
However, I suspect that the same billionaires that are calling the shots in Washington in terms of policy towards the Middle East and towards Iran are also calling the shots in Ukraine. And these billionaires have decided that they want Zelensky there and they want to continue doing whatever they can to harm Russia. That's their agenda. That's not an American agenda.
Yeah.
That's what the billionaires want. And I think more and more people are coming around to understanding the billionaires really are in charge. You know, they own the House, they own the Senate, they own the White House.